This is a new live son of a bitch.
Bull frickin' horse shit.
I hate to go all technical on you, but all hands on deck, swirly thing alert.
Attention.
Listen, you motherfuckers.
Buckle up, pedal heads.
You're experiencing the Lotus Effect with Phoenix and Phone Boy.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
You are my podcast. My only podcast. So if you fucking take my podcast away, I'm going to shove my foot so far up your ass.
It is out of sheer morbid curiosity I'm allowing this freak show to continue.
How do you fix that, though?
Take a big step back and literally
suck my dick.
Are you interested? I know you are, because it's fuck or walk.
You're shitting me.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
To tell you the truth, I don't give a shit.
Well, you know who else doesn't give a shit?
Phoenix and Phone Boy?
Ah, not them again!
Oh, they're horrible.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Shut up and listen, everyone.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
Stars? There's stars around here? Nah, couldn't be us. Nope, not a chance in hell. Because I don't know. I'm me. It's episode 172 of The Lotus Effect, provisionally titled Copious Amounts of Crossfading, which has occurred more often than it probably should have over the last few days. And as y'all know, the show's made up, the content doesn't matter, and I'm Phoenix.
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
How do you fix that, though?
First of all, they're not assholes necessarily, they're degenerates.
No, I'm talking about the people that are surrounding me outside of our show and community, darling.
Fair enough. Okay, well.
They make me freak out.
Yeah. Okay, well, help.
What is this, a freak out?
This is kind of strange.
This is terrific.
I think I'm gonna be sick.
Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell aglowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes! The danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing!
We're there.
I just had an orgasm.
The guy is jizzing all over himself.
Freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Well, I must be freaking out, man. I could have sworn that you addressed yourself. You identified yourself, you alien you. Like nobody knows who you are. You need no introduction, man.
No. That's just like your opinion, man.
It is. So tell the listeners who you are in case they don't already know the prestigious, amazing man to the left of me.
I am Phone Boy.
Yes, you are. And, God, as you can tell, this shit completely just lost its... It just lost it. We got no idea what's going on over here. We are truly freaking out. Apparently, that's how the Lotus affects us today. But, you know, we know it affects everyone differently. So however or wherever it's affecting you, we want to hear about it.
I got mail! Yay!
I got you a dollar.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be that kind of show today. Now, y'all know, despite all the flubby dubbies that we manage, we invest a lot of time in putting the show together, and we operate on the value for value model, which consists of the three T's: time, talent, and treasure. Of course, you can send us treasure. You can do it by going to lotuseffect.show and clicking on the green We Like Money button. Send us some of that fiat fund coupons that y'all got hanging around, because if your money offends you, we are a charitable organization, and we will gladly take it off your hands and turn it into merch. I have been really leaning on Phone Boy to get some actual merch made with the funds that we have from you wonderful folks that donate and have monthly donations, the boosts that you send us in the form of your gold press latinum, which we totally appreciate, which we have a couple people we want to highlight for giving that particular tea, which is the treasure, which is Mama Tea. She sent $5 during Rideshare Radio last night for some Tom Patty Won't Back Down in honor of 47. President Trump. And we want to also acknowledge this wasn't a financial contribution, but this was a talent, I guess it would be time and talent, because it takes time to craft that talent. So we want to recognize the Bemroses for their wonderful clips that they have recently sent. We will actually give a sample of that.
Yes, of course. That's exactly. I have the clips queued up, and I figured they were.
Yes, you should probably fire them off so that they can hear the value that we received last night.
Yes.
During that shit show.
Yes,
that
exactly.
We call Rideshare Radio.
Okay. So anyway, So Bemblet had joined. It was Rideshare Radio last night. Fridays at 8 p.m. Central Time on LotusEffect.stream. We had quite a
lively crowd. We had Weirdo. We had Net Ned.
Yeah, we had a full house last night. I mean,
and that was, you know, we'll talk about during Tales from Rideshare. But you were solo in studio for a good majority of it.
That's right. Well. Okay, but anyway, there was a discussion that we had decided that we might want to rename Rideshare Radio. Now, and so Bemblet had provided his submission for a possible name. So
that's right.
So I'm going to play this clip first.
There I was, running down a dream on the big open road. Welcome to Open Road Radio.
I said, well,
I don't hate Open Road Radio, but I feel like it runs a little bit close to an actual show. Mm-hmm. On one of those platforms like Spotify or some shit like that. So because of that, and also because we gave great consideration and got, I think we even addressed the fact that Tigger had weighed in saying that she didn't think we should change it from Rideshare Radio because we are sharing our radio with our pedal heads and some of them are indeed riding.
Yes, we have. Yes, we actually, yeah, we're getting there.
We also had a submission from Sir Bemrose himself, so we should probably play that.
Yeah, we should probably play that.
All music, no brand awareness. This is Renamed Radio.
Yes, which...
Beautifully done. Actually, I had not heard that one prior to right now, so that was a cold listen for me.
Yes.
Well done. I love that.
Yeah, we thought it was fantastic, but... We did ask. We did ask Bemblet to re-record anyway, and so we have this now.
There I was, running down a dream, on the big open road. Welcome to Rideshare Radio.
That just got me moist. What the fuck? That came out great.
Yeah, well done, Bemblet.
Thank you, Bemblet.
Yeah, but
that's an example of some of the fantastic value that we get from the listeners through their time and talent that they put together to produce fantastic bumpers and clips like that for us. So thank you, Bemroses, for your never-ending presence and value being returned to the Lotus Effect. Now, as you can tell, we completely understand when you don't have the scratch to send us your cash and you do, you know, things like make clips and show up in the chat and stuff. There's basically a few ways that you can really send back the ack, as we call it. You can send us a message on Massive Dong, a.k.a. Mastodon. Mastodon, sorry. He is at phoneboy at lotuseffect.social. I'm at Phoenix, P-H-E-O-N-I-X, at lotuseffect.social. You can email us at idontgiveafuck@lotuseffect.show. Yes, it's a real email, and I am monitoring it on the daily. You can send us something in the actual USPS. Put those government motherfuckers to work before Trump puts them out of work in an unemployment line. If you want to send us some actual physical value, you can hit us up in the back channel. We'll be glad to provide you with the address. And one of the things we really love, and this is how a lot of the Bemrose value flows back to us, is join the chat sometime. We do Rideshare Radio Fridays at 8 p.m. Central. We do the pre-stream starting at 3:30 Central on Saturday. That is p.m., of course. Although sometimes we do go to like 3:30 a.m. It has happened. But we also, at 4 o'clock, we start this shit show known as The Lotus Effect, followed immediately by Studio 33, which is the littest after party in the Fediverse. Fight me, motherfuckers. But details on how you can get involved with all these shitnanigans and be a degenerate like everyone else? Well, just go to lotuseffect.chat and it's going to tell you how to do it. Now, of course, another way you can contribute value back to us is call or text 253-237-3321.
Yeah, and you should do that. And what happens when you call 253-237-3321?
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingy.
Dell Computers, this is Chip.
I'm sorry, sir, but that line is boozy.
Yeah, I think Phoneboy is boozy today. Well, Google Voice is always boozy. And, of course, it is the one that's going to answer the phone, and it's going to mangle your transcript, and you're going to end up being a candidate for a show title. Just know it's going to happen, and we love when you do that. Now, the reason that you do that, other than to call in and say, we love you, you suck, eat a bag, well, it's to give us feedback on and answer the yay or nay topic, either or. Now, today, this week, what we want to know is, do you share food with your partner? Now, I'm pretty sure you and I had actually talked recently about how we had these giant steaks that I had cut from a whole ribeye that we bought at Costco. And I didn't truly realize at the time how large they were until we thawed a package out to eat them. And it was like, holy fuck, this slab of beef could feed both of us. And truly did. We took two forks, two steak knives, and just got after that motherfucker.
It's like it was like a Chateaubriand.
It was amazing. But we want to know, do you do weird shit like that? Do you maybe steal a snip off of your partner's plate, grab a little nibble? You know, do you feed your partner? You know, we just had Valentine's Day yesterday. You know, are you one of those people that likes to, you know, feed your partner while looking into their eyes? You know, tell us, 253-237-3321.
Okay, and I think on that, we need to take it from Dr. Johnny Fever.
So just sit right down, relax, open your ears real wide and say, give it to me straight, doctor, I can take it.
Yeah, but we are definitely not going to take this.
We don't want your shit.
Please don't send us your shit.
That's right. We don't want no shit. Don't be hateful. We enjoy a lot of good-natured ball busting around here.
Breaking the balls. Breaking the balls.
God knows we do it to one another enough. But we should probably hop into our health segment. Speaking of breaking the balls, these motherfuckers. Because, you know, our health segment is never, ever, ever...
brought to you by Pfizer.
No, and I'm not, and I'm kind of wondering what this story kind of, I pulled this story and it had an interesting sort of twist to it, and then I started looking at it last night. I'm like, oh, I got some stuff to say about this. So fat or carbs, identical twins follow different diets for 12 weeks.
Give us a week, we'll take off the weight.
In a fascinating experiment, a pair of identical twins followed two different diets, one loaded with fat and the other with carbs, for 12 weeks. The results may surprise you. Yeah, it's definitely a clickbait title. Well, now the Turner twins, 36-year-old Hugo and Ross Turner from the UK, known in social media circles as adventure guinea pigs for taking health experiments, took a recent trial where they tested the impact of high-fat versus high-carb diets.
Now where's my waffle sundae?
Now, when Ross added 500 calories of carbs from pasta and rice to his diet while avoiding high-fat foods, Hugo consumed the same number of calories from fats such as olive oil, butter, nuts, eggs, and avocado while following a low-carb diet. Now, both followed similar workout routines, combining cardio and strength training with rest days every 3 days. To support their training, they also consumed 350-calorie protein shakes for muscle building and recovery. Throughout the trial, a team of scientists from the UK's University of Loughborough closely monitored their progress.
Ah, I see you have the machine that goes bing!
Yes. The results showed that both brothers became fitter and leaner irrespective of their diets. Now, while Ross, who was on a high-carb diet, experienced more energy, it did not help him gain much muscle, around 2.2 pounds. However, he performed better in cardiovascular tests and had lower cholesterol levels. Like that matters. Ross lost 2 pounds of fat and his visceral fat decreased from 11.5% to 11.1%. Hugo gained around 6.6 pounds of muscle and lost 0.6 pounds of fat. Now, there were no changes in his cholesterol levels, but he gained visceral fat from 11.4% to 12.6%. Now, Hugo said he never felt good while on a high fat diet as the food felt repetitive and he missed feeling full.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I just never felt good. I was eating at least 6 times a day and never felt full or satisfied, hence I was constantly hungry. But equally, I didn't have the crashes that I would probably associate with a higher carb diet, Hugo told Business Insider. Now, the trial was not large enough to definitively determine If one diet is better than the other, it suggests that completely avoiding carbs or fats may not be the answer. The researchers suggest the key is in finding the right balance of carbs and fats that makes each feel their best to suit their lifestyle.
Okay, so y'all know that this is fixing to be a rant by your girl Phoenix, because let me tell you, if this guy's used to eating carbs on the norm, and then you just cut it out or down and replace it with fat, yeah, you're gonna not feel the benefits of a high-fat diet. You're going to feel the kind of, you know, always hungry. You're gonna stay hangry for at least probably a few weeks to a month. It starts to decrease the longer you stick with it. But yeah, initially, you going from carbs to no or low carbs, you're completely going to still experience the hangries. That just bugs the shit out of me that this, oh my God.
Yeah.
Again, TikTok for the fucking loss. Why do people even listen to these influencers? Douchebags.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Seriously.
Well, yeah, I mean, truly, this was a hate read, and I was like, when I got to the end of this, I'm like, this is full of shit. We don't even know what they fucking ate, and that's also probably very relevant, what they ate before they did this experiment, because
yeah, there's so many holes in this fucking story. You could present it as Swiss cheese and sell it at the deli.
Yeah, probably. Although,
but I'll tell you what you can't get at the deli, but you definitely can get at some really fine establishments, is beef tallow or grass-fed butter. Now, we want to know which fat packs more nutrients.
I can't believe it's not butter.
Beef tallow is made by separating animal fat from meat and processing it. It can come from different parts of the animal, which slightly changes its fatty acid profile, texture, and taste. It's also used as an ingredient in soaps and skincare products. Grass-fed butter is made from the milk of grass-fed animals, primarily cows. It must contain at least 80% milk fat. Other ingredients, such as salts, colorings, and preservatives, can also be added.
Just everything a growing boy needs.
The nutritional content of beef tallow and grass-fed butter can vary depending on the animal's diet, season, breed, and processing method. Beef tallow and grass-fed butter have similar amounts of calories and total fat, and both are high in saturated fat. Grass-fed butter has about 57% saturated fat, while beef tallow has about 50%. Beef tallow is also much lower in cholesterol than grass-fed butter, which contains twice as much. Now, is that a bad thing, though?
The idea that's related to cholesterol, because it's cholesterol that makes up the bulk of that stuff in there that Game Changers guys were showing you. Oh, you don't want that in your blood. That's not true. You want that in your blood. That is energy. That is satiety. Cholesterol is a nutrient. It's the building block of all of your cell membranes, and it's what makes us fertile. It's the building block of testosterone and estrogen.
Now, both do contain vitamin A, D, E, and K. Now, beef tallow nor grass butter is better fat source than the other. But due to their high amount of saturated fat, both should be consumed in moderation, at least according to the medical establishment.
Oh God, here we go with this shit again.
Beef tallow is animal fat, mainly used for cooking. It's made by separating meat from fat and purifying it. It's also grown in popularity as a skincare product. Several studies show that beef tallow can improve skin hydration. However, the results came from self-reported data where people used beef tallow with other oils. More human studies are needed to confirm its skin benefits.
If my skin's fresh and healthy looking, I guess it's because I've gotten down to basics.
So beef tallow contains conjugated linoleic acid, CLA, a form of linoleic acid, a fatty acid. CLA is found in dairy, lamb, and beef, and in small amounts of poultry, fish, and vegetable oils. First of all, second of all, and all of all, let's not fucking be consuming vegetable oils, shall we, folks? Unless we're talking about, like, avocados, coconuts. Those oils are okay. Palm. I'm not sure. Is palm a vegetable, phone boy?
I don't know. Probably.
Okay, but the point of the matter is, when I think of vegetable oil, I immediately go to some seriously fucked up seed cut oil. So, yes, please, please do not consume vegetable oil. But consuming CLA is linked to improved heart, immune, bone, and metabolic health. It also might help with weight management. Most studies on CLA have examined supplements only. Research suggests that CLA supplements can help with weight loss and muscle building. However, supplementation can also cause side effects, such as insulin resistance. More studies are needed to confirm the benefits.
Give them all a little pat of butter.
Grass-fed butter is generally made from the milk of cows fed with grass. Pasture feeding can influence the nutrient content of milk and butter. Butter is a major source of CLA, and grass-fed butter can have higher levels of CLA than regular butter. Regular butter contains vitamin A and small amounts of vitamins E and K. Now, women need 700 micrograms of vitamin A daily, and men need 900. One tablespoon of regular butter offers about 10% of the daily value of vitamin A for men and slightly more for women.
As part of this good, nutritious breakfast...
While regular butter is a good source of vitamin A, a study found that grass-fed butter has more vitamin A than butter from cows fed a grain and grass diet indoors. Which one is better? They're both good, though the article again stresses in moderation, because saturated fat is bad or something, blah, blah, blah. The bottom line is, give me animal fat all day long. Give me that sweet, sweet pork fat off of bacon. I will render the fuck out of some beef fat, some tallow. I'm telling you what, I did that last year. I rendered down the beef fat that I had gotten from our local farmers and made French fries in it. I know, potatoes, hot fresh garbage, I can already hear you all screaming at me, but I made them for my mom. And I felt that was probably the healthiest option.
That was,
to
yeah,
go
honest,
with.
Honestly, yeah, that is probably.
And they were pretty banging, like, I'm not gonna lie, I had a couple of them. And you could taste the difference. The only thing I will say, the downside of using tallow to make French fries in, is if they get cold, you get that nasty film on the roof of your mouth if you eat them cold because of the tallow. Ugh, I can feel it already. Like, no, we just need to go on to this next story.
Yeah, no. And I have some personal experience with this. Here's what having regular sex does to your brain. And what happens during a long dry spell, according to a neurologist? I want your sex. Yeah. By the way, I had a lot of fun last night pulling clips for this for the stories today. So.
I know y'all cannot see your girl behind the mic, but I think I may possibly be blushing.
Okay. And what happens in our brains, neurologically and psychologically, when we have lots of pleasurable sex compared to when we're riding out a dry spell? Does having regular sex makes us feel sexier or boost our mental health beyond the bedroom? Stylist, a UK-based magazine, asked a neuroscientist and a psychosexual therapist to explain what happens to our little gray cells during a bountiful period and during a sex drought.
Some people got to have it. Hey, hey, hey.
Yeah, it seems that the more that we have it, the more that we want it. This is partially down to the feel-good hormone dopamine, which the brain releases in anticipation of enduring a pleasurable activity such as sex. But dopamine isn't the only factor driving us to have sex again and again and again. Another key structure involved is the amygdala, which is the brain's emotional hub. Now, over time, the amygdala plays a role in building emotional connections and associations with positive experiences, and this may contribute to an increased sex drive within a supportive and emotionally fulfilling relationship.
Tell me about the sexuality. It's in your DNA.
Now, regular sex may also mean better quality sex. Now, a concept in neuroscientists known as Hebbian theory or Hebb's rule is often summarized as neurons that fire together, wire together. When we have sex, either with others or through solo masturbation, we activate the neural pathways between the genitals and the pleasure-activated parts of the brain. According to Hebbian theory, the more often this happens, the stronger the pleasure pathways become. Over time, this makes it easier for us to experience sexual satisfaction and potentially more intense orgasms.
I'm gonna come.
So, does actually being with the right partner, but anyway, it's no surprise that regular sex makes us feel good. But the fact goes beyond any initial cheap thrills. Now, Kate Moyle, psychosexual therapist and in-house expert for Lilo, which, by the way, when I clicked on the link for that, whatever Lilo was, L-E-L-O, yeah, my work computer said, yeah, that's not a site you're allowed to go to.
All righty, then.
I went, all right, that's all I need to know about that.
Risque.
Yes, it explains that during sex, the brain triggers the release of endorphins, natural painkillers that also counteract the stress hormone cortisol. The neurochemical oxytocin is released, which can promote feelings of closeness and attachment.
All right, it's true, okay? I humped her brains out. There, now you happy?
Now, within a relationship, if partners are feeling distant, this can play a role in closing that gap, she explains.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Yes. Dr. Baghetti points out that some people find it easier to fall asleep after sex, which is partially down to the feel-good oxytocin and endorphins, but also the hormone prolactin, which promotes relaxation. Now, because sex stimulates the release of all these neurochemicals, she says that over time, regular sexual activity may enhance emotional closeness and reduce anxiety, especially if it strengthens a healthy relationship. Now, while some of these benefits are immediate, it's also likely that there are cumulative ones like better emotional health.
Now, I understand everyone shits emotional right now.
Now, several studies have linked frequent sexual activity with improved cognitive performance, although the evidence is debated. Now, one small 2017 study involving heterosexual women aged 18 to 29 found that women who had sex more often had better recall of abstract words in a test. In 2010, the journal PLOS ONE published a study, albeit on male rats, which recorded more neuron growth in rats that had sex daily over a two-week period compared to rats that had sex only once during the study.
I've been looking out for your sex life since high school.
But before you jump into bed, hoping that a quickie will help you write that tricky presentation or ace tomorrow's job interview, the situation is more complex. While there may have been some associations between sexual activity and performance on memory tasks, the improvements observed are generally small. Also, there are many other factors involved. More research is needed.
I clearly don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Now, everyone will go through a period of little or no sexual activity at some point in their adult life. It might be involuntary dry patch due to a dip in libido or difficult personal circumstances, or it might be a self-imposed period of celibacy. But if regular sex appears to bring multiple benefits, does that mean the lack of sex does maybe the reverse?
Yes, no, maybe. I don't know. Can you repeat the question?
The Studio 33 playlist is going to be good tonight, I can assure you. It seems to depend on what role sex is playing in your life, or if the reason you're not having it is voluntary, or sex causes you physical pain or something. Either way, it's not clear. And yet again, more research is needed. Oh, you know, this was another hate read, I think. I think it helps. What do you think?
I think if they're looking for participants for a research study, call 253-237-3321. Get a hold of Phoenix and Phoneboy. I think we could help.
Yes. So
we could at least tell you how to do it and make it be really fun, really enjoyable, really something you want to do. Yeah. And I think we can speak to the fact that we have better brains because we fuck a lot. I know someone will ISO that knowing the degenerates in our chat, and yeah. I'm fine with the way things are.
Yeah, you know, they could just snip it out of the fucking recording, too. You know, there's always that. So, yeah, exactly. But that takes all the fun
Speaking of snipping, I want to talk about this story that I have about I'm a surgeon. Here's what happened when I tried magnesium to fall asleep faster.
Please let me sleep.
So UK NHS surgeon Dr. Kiran Rajan recently experienced a bout of struggling to drift off while traveling. So he tried magnesium supplements to see whether it would help him fall asleep faster.
Fall asleep faster.
For a few nights, it was taking more than 30 minutes to fall asleep, said the doctor, which wasn't normal for him. Magnesium is often marketed as a sleep aid because it might help to relax muscles, lower cortisol, and regulate neurotransmitters like GABA, which tells your brain to chill out, explained the surgeon in one of his health explainer videos on social media.
Let's get social media.
In 2 weeks of taking nightly magnesium, I tracked my own sleep data. I noticed that my sleep latency, the time it takes to fall asleep, dropped while taking magnesium. He noted that it could just be down to coincidence, a placebo or better sleeping habits, and concluded that since he's stopped taking the supplements, as his sleep habits are back on track. Dr. Rajan said research into magnesium and sleep is poor, but we know it's a crucial nutrient linked to various psychological processes. Having higher levels of magnesium in the body has been associated with better sleep, longer sleep tiredness, and less daytime sleepiness, according to the Sleep Foundation. One study which analyzes the use of magnesium in older adults when compared to a placebo found that those who had magnesium supplements fell asleep 17 minutes faster than those in the placebo group. The length of time they stayed asleep also increased by 16 minutes. Not a massive difference, but yeah, nothing to be sniffed at.
I'm sleeping with Joan Collins and I don't even know it!
Another small study in older adults found significant increases in sleep time and sleep efficiency, as well as the ability to fall asleep faster in the magnesium supplement group compared to the placebo group. Typically, adult men aged 19 to 64 should have around 300 milligrams of magnesium each day, while women of the same age should have about 270. This is something you don't want to overconsume, though. More than 400 milligrams a day, for instance. Yeah, there's a reason they give you magnesium citrate to clean out your colon before you have a colonoscopy.
I can start wars on that shit.
Yeah, you will be shitting a lot. I can assure you, you will make colon blow the new rival, you know, magnesium flakes. Yeah. The new colon blow.
Yeah, exactly. I had to I think Isobot looked like it needed
to be slapped.
Yeah, so I needed to make sure Isobot was doing what it was supposed to do. So thank you, Cotton Gin, for the lovely tool that is Isobot. It was gold what we had.
Occasionally we spit some shit.
Okay.
But you know, as you can tell, you know, I'm pretty happy today, aren't you, Phone Boy?
Yes, I am.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Fuck you. So it's my story. That's right. The emotional moment dog was returned to owners 7 years after being stolen.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
An English family has been reunited with their beloved Labrador Daisy, who was stolen from their front lawn 7 years ago. Their tireless search and advocacy for their lost family member attracted the attention of British celebrity and even helped a steer a law through Parliament. But the ultimate reward for their devotion to their lost dog was the chance to see her again, elderly and slightly battered, but alive and loving.
Here I come to save the day.
In 2017, a truck arrived in front of Rita and Philip Potter's Norfolk house. Two men hurriedly leapt out, grabbed Daisy, and stuffed her into the back, a despicable act seen by the neighbors. Now, ruling out the possibility that Daisy got lost in the woods somewhere, the Potters contacted the police and urged a response. Now, an RSPCA search in Somerset, 200 miles and 7 years later, has recovered a 13-year-old Daisy who was likely the victim of an illegal pet breeding operation.
Dogs are people, too.
A quick microchip scan, and Daisy was on her way home. Now, we kept a photograph on the mantelpiece and would look at it every day thinking of her and where she might be, Mrs. Potter told the BBC. It's an absolute dream come true that the RSPCA found her and returned her to us where she belongs, and we are so grateful, said Mrs. Potter. Now, following Daisy's abduction, the Potters were active in the press and social media trying to ensure anyone who might have seen the dog understood where she had come from. Now, Tom Hardy, the A-list action star from Dark Knight Rises and Inception, shared her post on his ex account. Now, the Potters then collected 100,000 signatures on a petition for greater government action to fight pet crime. The Pet Abduction Act changed the UK government sentencing guidelines, making it a criminal offense with a prison sentence of up to 5 years. Now, previously, pets were considered property, and abducting them was punished under the UK's 1986 Theft Act.
Don't steal. The government hates competition.
Yeah, they hate competition. That's right. Now, during the investigation here, the owner agreed to turn Daisy over to the organization, explaining they had only had her for a few years and didn't know she could have been stolen. Now, at their facility, a microchip scan revealed Daisy's provenance, and the call to the Potters was an emotional one. They were obviously shocked, but elated at the same time, said RSPCA Inspector Kim Walters. I was a bit choked from listening to them and clearly how much they loved her, so it was great telling them that we could get her back home soon. Now, in her golden years, and with several health issues from half a decade of maltreatment, the Potters look forward to loving, spoiling, and caring for her.
Take heart amid the deepening gloom that your dog is finally getting enough cheese.
Yes.
That is actually really sweet. I'm glad they were reunited with their pupper. That's a very special bond.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, only people who have animals can understand just how deep that bond goes, especially with doggos.
Yes. I think you advocated for this story. So this is...
I did. And I think I've mentioned before that... You know, I used to have two green cheek conures, and they're really interesting. When, like, I had a Bacardi, and the reason I named her Bacardi is because she used to hang upside down like a bat. When you raise them from basically a chick, which is more or less what I raised her from, I was in contact with someone who did breeding, and I mean, I paid a fair bit of money for her. But she was such a sweetheart. She, when I got her, she rode home on my shoulder. She used to love biting at my earrings and actually bit the diamond out of one of my earrings one day while I was driving. I used to let her loose in my truck. So, of course, I had a lot of bird shit to clean up. But irrelevant to the fact, many birds of paradise species emit light through their plumage, according to a new study.
Beautiful plumage!
Yes, they do have beautiful plumage. Birds of paradise are known for their bright and colorful plumage, but it turns out they're even more dazzling than previously thought. Researchers have found 37 of the 45 species show bioluminescence. In other words, patches of their plumage or other body parts absorb UV or blue light and emit light at lower frequencies. At a minimum, it would make these bioluminescent areas brighter. A yellow feather might be more green-yellow. A white feather might be brighter and slightly more green-yellow, said Dr. Renee Martin from the American Museum of Natural History in New York, who was the first to author the study.
Blinded by the light.
Published in the journal Royal Society Open Science, Martin and colleagues reported how they studied preserved specimens of each bird of paradise species held in the ornithology collection at the American Museum of Natural History. The team placed males and females of each species under blue light in a dark room and recorded the wavelengths and intensity of light emitted. In some cases, they also shone UV lights on their skins.
Shiny, ever-loving light on me.
The result revealed that males of 21 species showed bioluminescence on parts of their plumage, such as their head, neck, belly, and tail feathers, or on fleshy lobes known as face wattles. In addition, these species, plus an additional 16 species, showed, or were deemed likely to show, bioluminescence in their inner mouth and throat. Females of 36 of these species, and most likely all 37, also showed bioluminescence. Several showed this on their chest and belly, or on feathers that form an eye stripe on the side of their head. The team said the emitted light ranged from light or teal blue wavelengths to green and green-yellow.
Taste the rainbow, motherfucker!
Now, it may not have been the effect of making something look different, but becoming brighter and more eye-catching, said Martin. Where this seems to be relevant is in mating rituals and possibly as camouflage. Now, I'm I'm admittedly kind of an ornithology geek. I like birds a lot. And the thought of seeing some of these beautiful birds, especially bioluminescing, would be amazing. I think you and I have talked, Phone Boy, about the fact that I want to go to the caves where the bioluminescent worms are.
Yeah, I think that would be kind of cool to see.
Yeah, as do I. I will have to do some research to find where exactly they are. But you know what I know where it is?
Yeah.
The Cavalcade of Stupidity by Mr. Rev Cybertrucker himself.
Yep, and we have one for you right now.
Hi-de-ho, pedalheads, and welcome to Sir Reverend Cybertrucker's Cavalcade of Stupidity.
After releasing their debut album in 1990, As Kosher as They Wanna Be, Two Live Jews put out such parodies as Young Jews Be Proud and Shake Your Tookus. The album itself was a relative success and launched Two Live Jews into the spotlight, with Billboard magazine saying, funny all the way through, with appearances on MTV and Regis and Kathy Lee. From the 1990 album, As Kosher as They Wanna Be, this is Two Live Jews with, Oi! It's so humid.
Hell out there today.
You kidding me? It's, and it's humid as hell. Where were you yesterday?
Kicking in the mall just the other day. I was checking out the girlies and the schmucks and the toupees. It was time to get busy. It started getting dark. So we busted out the door onto the sidewalk. Walking back to the hotel from the bagel shop. It was so damn humid, air was on us like a mop. I was shredding like a mule, I was frying like a blintz. I was swimming in my shorts, if you get the hint. We were chilling out front, waking up an appetite, thinking about lunch, motivating on the beach, hanging out by Wolfies, thinking about Pumpernicks or maybe even Schultzies. I'll have a corned beef or a quarter pound of brisket. The salmon didn't look so hot, I didn't wanna risk it. Belching by the window, I was getting kinda hot. I felt just like a brisket that was boiling in a pot.
I think some of the cavalcades I've done when Rev wasn't doing them, I feel like Rev is responding in kind with some stuff from the same era. So I like this.
It's funny because I actually know that one. Yeah. Of the few songs that you all have, or I should say of the few songs I knew when I met you and the Rev and the massive collection that I have since become aware of, that one I actually was aware of previously.
Yeah.
Before meeting you two degenerates, but love that one.
Yes, exactly. Two Live Jews, and we'll play the full version in Studio 33, of course, which we've already got a massive playlist for Studio 33. It's, as you can tell from the clips that have played during the show. But you know what? It is definitely time for it is the Tales from Rideshare segment.
It is. Yes, take that ride with us because we are going to talk about an interesting couple that I had that I picked up at a place called Blackberry Farms, which I assure you, just saying the name, I feel like they're going to charge me surcharge for the royalties. Like, holy fucking shit, this place is dripping with pretentiousness and, like, just, oh my God. Rich, I'll put it this way, rich people go there to vacation. And I mean, like, uber fucking rich, like Oprah fucking rich. I think actually Oprah has been there, but irrelevant to the point. They were a lovely couple. And the first thing that they noticed was my Israeli flag. And in talking to them, they're from LA. He works in real estate and she's a philanthropist. And I said, okay, what's the most money and for what cause have you raised it? And she said that they had raised actually more than $1 million for an Israel cause, which I thought was amazing. I don't remember the name of it, so I apologize. but they were perfectly lovely. And I'm sure they had more money than sense, which is basically anybody who goes to that fucking place. But they were truly lovely. And this, I mean, you want to know how pretentious this place is? They didn't even bring their own luggage to the fucking car. I watched a guy go, like, I'm trying to think. You ever see the dad who's just weighed down with about 4 fucking suitcases, 3 bags, he's got shit around his neck, like, how the fuck he's walking, I don't know. That's what this porter reminded me of, hauling their luggage to the car to put it in for us to go to the airport for them to fly home. It blew my brain. Now, I don't have any desire, despite the fact I know we, once Foamboy's done being extorted by the Wonder Cunt, I know that we will have that kind of stupid money to spend, but I have no desire to do it in that place. It doesn't touch me in any possible way. I don't need that kind of flex.
No, it does not appeal to me either.
Absolutely not. But what did appeal to me, I was having a morning toke with Foamboy and just kind of trying to get motivated for my Friday. And my watch had buzzed, and up comes this reserved ride opportunity paying $218 and change. And I didn't even give a fuck where it was going. I flipped shit. I went ripping off of where I was sitting because I thought my phone was downstairs in the bedroom. Come to find out it was in Foamboy's pocket, so I didn't actually have to go flying around the fucking house looking for this thing. But long story short, I got a hold of this reservation. It went to Buford, Georgia. Okay, giggity. Left about 2:30 out of Knoxville, so I knew I was going to be late getting home, as anyone who listens to Rideshare Radio knew.
So Buford is kind of in the greater Atlanta area, I think is best.
Buford is east of Atlanta. Yeah. It's probably more comfortable to say that you might be closer to South Carolina than you are Atlanta.
Okay.
In Buford. I believe Buford is where that black dude got shot for being black by that father and son. You remember that story?
Oh, no, but okay. Anyway.
Okay,
but,
TLDR, father and son see this black guy that lives in this neighborhood and is running, and they decide they gonna be fucking, you know, the fucking Wild West bullshit. They don't want this N-word in their neighborhood. He must be a thief. They gunned the motherfucker down. And the goddamn sheriffs and all that tried to sweepy-sweep that shit under the rug. Judges, too. Some backwoods bullshit down there in Banjo Land pissed me the fuck off.
Yeah, well, it is quite an interesting thing, but you...
But anyways, yes. So, the guy looked like Sideshow Bob. Like, I'm not gonna lie. The kid looked like Sideshow Bob. Kept me waiting 10 minutes for him to finish his laundry. I did not get paid any extra for that. Kind of irked me. But all in all, he wasn't a... I mean, we literally, like, we talked for just a couple of minutes. And then, like, he was on his phone doing whatever, whatever. Then he was taking a nap. Like, I didn't give a figgity fuck. Like, he wasn't giving me shit. I was listening to some shit in my ear. I had my music on. So, you know, if he was listening to my music, great. If he wasn't, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't talk to me, I don't talk to you, long trip or not. And I swear to God, this GPS, first of all, fuck Uber for the fact that when this ride came up, it literally made me go to a third-party app, either Google Maps or Apple Maps, to route. It was like, nope, we don't know how to do this. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Uber needs to update their motherfucking software for their GPS abilities, because this is some horse shit. It don't take that much. Couple lines of code, you lazy cocksuckers. But anyway, speaking of Uber, y'all might want to avoid their new default 1.5% preferred currency pricing scam.
You fucking bastards.
I actually got a notification about this, because I have been using Uber and it is not uncommon for me to use Uber in a foreign country. It happens to be a very convenient way to get transport when I need to get it to and from the airport or something along those lines, right? So I'm familiar with how Uber works. Is they charge in local currency, right? Which is fine. The credit card I have doesn't have any foreign transaction fees now. So what they're doing, though, is that they're saying, okay, you can in certain places, and the EU happens to be one of those places. They will say, fine, we'll convert it to the currency that that we you know, we'll convert it to the currency you would like, right? And but we'll tack on 1.5%. So it's kind of a, you know, it's they're trying to sell it as some sort of a benefit. And of course it just seems like a money grab to anybody who's looking at it. That was I kind of saw this and thought about it, and I went, no, I don't really. I thought about it and kind of when I actually read this article, which is linked, and it's, I just kind of went, well, yeah, this might actually be, you know, yeah, it's a bit of a scam, and I disagree. It's like you're getting anytime you go, you have your primary currency in one place, and you're buying something in another place, you're going to get fucked by the exchange rate. You're always going to get fucked by the exchange rate. So just assume that going in, and like I say, from day to day it fluctuates, right? So especially when you're trying to do like business expenses, anyway, and then what the app calculates versus what your card actually charges you are different things, right? So everybody's in on the vig. It's disgusting. So
it is fucking disgusting.
Yes, exactly. What is not disgusting is probably this. Well, actually, there is a disgusting thing in the segment that we're going to be moving to next, which is the Toast and Jam segment.
Well, I'm a bum in the sun and I'm having fun, and I know you know I got no special plans.
Well, yes.
Yes, we have a little bit of special plans for tonight's dinner, actually. First of all, if you have not yet called in 253-237-3321 and told us, do you share food with your partner? Do y'all maybe eat off the same plate, maybe steal a nibble off his or her plate? You know, let us know about it. 253-237-3321. Meanwhile, we're going to talk about what I'm cooking.
I'm making, like, actual food that's cooked.
We're going to Denny's?
You actually could maybe compare it to Denny's, but then I'd have to throw punch you. We're just having omelets. Very simple, quick, easy. It's something I've been promising to make for Foam Boy for a little bit.
Yeah, we have to
use up some
cheese. Some cayenne pepper cheese that I thought would be fantastic in an omelet.
Well, it will. We're going to kind of make a spicy Denver, if you will.
Yes, exactly. So I think that is it. Although I brought up this snack earlier, I'm like, that was good. But now I'm thinking about the omelets. I hope I have enough to consume these omelets, because I imagine they're going to be, what happens when I put your cooking in my mouth? There's a button you're supposed to push over there, and you're missing the cue that I've been giving you for the last like 5 minutes.
Well, I'm sorry, you went off on a fucking rabbit hole. I was just letting you go, man. I know what my cooking is.
It's like an orgy in my mouth, and everybody's coming.
Oh, it's an orgy. Got it.
What was not an orgy?
Who's got to feed who here?
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know what happened on Tuesday night, but it led into Wednesday morning and the worst migraine I think I've ever had. It stopped both of us, honestly, because I remember Tuesday night we were having a session and I had a headache starting, and I
dude, that sounded really sexual. I want to point out it was not an after party session. Just pointing that out.
Yes, I understand this. Yes, but we were so I had taken some medication and went to bed, and then I got up again and took more medication and went to bed, and then about 5 a.m. Oh, that's when the nausea starts.
Yeah. And I can always tell when he has one of these kind of headaches, because he rushes out of bed, thump, 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 to the bathroom, and then it begins. The dry heaves, the horrible sounds, like he's trying to expel his soul out his fucking mouth.
Yes. And, yes, that's exactly what I did. But normally, it doesn't last all fucking day.
No, this has never been an all day.
No, usually by like lunchtime at worst, I'm okay, right? I can function again. It really kind of messed with my sleep. I mean, I basically ended up sleeping because this is where you had we're trying to relieve the medication actually wasn't helping really that much. The it was just, it was painful. The pain was just continual. And I even took a bath, right? And I felt good in the bath, right? Because I'm going, well, it's warm. And I'm like, well, okay, we need a heating pad. So I have a heating pad. Well, the heating pad is shit. So we need to.
Yeah, we're going to replace it because it's abject garbage.
Yeah, I should probably put it on some fucking list or something.
You probably should.
Yes. But meanwhile, you came up with something that would end up being a very ingenious thing.
Yes, I decided that because you had asked me to get a very hot face cloth. So I had taken a face cloth and ran straight hot water for a good few minutes on it and then wrung it out as much as I figured it would be to not drip so it would retain as much heat as it could. Well, of course, that didn't last worth a shit, but it gave me an idea. So I took a gallon size Ziploc bag, took a hand towel, stuffed it in the bag, and then boiled some water in the electric tea kettle, poured it over the towel, and took all the air out of it, and then wrapped it in a towel to kind of mitigate the heat, and that way it would stay hot for an extended period of time. And it actually worked. And in hindsight, I'm thinking I possibly should have added a few drops of peppermint oil to that, and it probably would have aided even more in the relief that it offered you, which was truly a godsend, because I can tell you, sitting next to your partner when they have a fucking migraine and you can do all of nothing, the most I could do is hold his hand, reheat the hot water bag thing I had improvised. That was it. I sat there watching Daz Games on YouTube with my AirPod in and... Yes. And hoping that he would sleep, like trying to give all of my positive energy to him to just calm and sleep.
Yeah, and that's
dear God, this fucking migraine, fuck off.
Yes, and that's basically what I ended up doing was sleeping afternoon, and it kind of fucked up the next night, which, yeah, that's a whole other discussion, but. So let's talk about the we had a conversation or you were a couple nights ago, you were having a conversation with your oldest.
I was chit-chatting on the phone with him, but also trying to get my homework done, because I am truly, I mean, I've got a year to go, y'all. Literally after this semester finishes, I've got two more and I'm done. I can see the finish line, folks. So I'm really getting amped up. I'm really putting my all into being successful. Despite all of the trolls breaking my balls, I really feel like I'm gaining ground. So I was working on some... they're OUs, and
yeah,
I'm trying to remember.
You're talking about you're in the active directory. You're creating organizational units.
That's it, organizational.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm sitting with her in the room, and I'm not really helping. So she's at her desk, and I'm sitting on the bed in there, and I'm kind of, I'm kind of watching her have this conversation. And I knew what she was doing, and I was just whatever. And I caught a glimpse of her. Now she's having this conversation. She's having this kind of a nonchalant conversation with her oldest, and sitting there looking like she's totally like in the zone of, well, doing Active Directory. I gotta admit, I got a little hard, you know. Like, I mean,
it was funny. He didn't tell me this till much after, a good portion
But in the context of, do you think you belong? Yeah, that's to me. That's kind of another thing that sort of showed me is that. Yeah, you're getting this, and yeah, you can find your place in this, and you belong. Right? It was
all it showed is that I could fumble around clicking on things until something fucking worked.
Welcome to IT. Have you tried turning it off and on?
Exactly. Lotus Tech Tips. Hey, we're not to that segment yet.
That's right. You buried the anyway. Well, yeah, that we'll have to address that when we get to that segment.
What? What did I do?
Because we have not announced that yet, I don't think.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm just saying, like, we use that term that was coined by Sir Bemrose.
Yes, okay, but like I said, we'll get to the segment and we'll talk about it.
Exactly.
Okay, now.
But first of all, we're going to talk about, this would actually kind of be some value returned, I think, from none other than Dame Jennifer Wida. So she sends me this email after telling me about this one that she had received. This is truly proof we are living in idiocracy, ladies and gentlemen. When you can use, I believe it was a firm, don't quote me, but it was definitely one of those financing services.
It was a firm because I saw it. I saw it too. So,
When you can use a firm to finance your DoorDash order, putting Mickey D's on payments, motherfuckers. Who out there is old enough to remember the fucking Eddie Murphy? Your mom's on welfare. You can't afford it.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly where my brain went when she sent me this email. I'm like, I can't. I'm short-circuiting. Like, we are living in idiocracy. What the fuck? If you need to finance dinner on DoorDash, Phoenix is broken.
No. Well.
Ding. Brain is broke. No. Like, seriously. What the actual fuck, folks?
Yeah, what the actual fuck? Now, I've had an interesting week with let's just say energy, right? Of different sort, and I've started sort of putting some things together in my mind, and it is I think it's partially driven some of my own behavior at times, and so and what I realize about we all have things, right? The number of things that are in this particular in our particular studio here, there's lots of things, you know, everywhere, right? So, and
yes, physical objects, my love,
physical objects, right? And so now one thing I did that was very when I left Wisteria Lane, I pretty much left everything behind except for some very specific things that I wanted, right? So now I had my share of things, although that I can assure you that house has more than its share of things. It's a high class hoarder, I think, is the word that seems to come to mind for me. But anyway, when you keep things, right, because, you know, things can be replaced, right? This is in most, you know, there are some unique things that might be difficult to replace, but ultimately they can be to some degree, they can be replaced. When we hang on to something, right, the more that we hang on to it and that we use it, we kind of takes on our energy, right? And so
exactly.
There are things that, and I have since, you know, now there are things I had to bring with me that were kind of practical at the time because, well, I needed all of these things, right? So, the things like clothing and maybe some of my tech stuff, right? There's things that got brought along from that. Now, over time, I've actually replaced some of these things, and other things I have not, right? And I think there are to help me sort of move on, right, with what has happened and not allow that, because I also think it's a two-way exchange, right? Because a bunch of my stuff, as I can assure you, based on the 25 years of behavior living with my ex, that, yeah, she's still a hoarder because she still has like baby clothes from when they were, you know, in the garage, right? So that house is like I said, it's a high class hoarding of some sort, right? And what the stuff that they've kept in it for, it's like, for what
reason? I'm looking forward to this summer when I can get into my storage units, God willing, and start power cleaning that shit out. That's going to be some happy day, especially if I can trim down getting one unit off my back. Like, we will be doing that fucking cool in the game, bitches. We'll be celebrating.
Yeah. So, but all of that stuff has energy associated with it. And so,
it's interesting because a gentleman named Tyler Durden actually said the things you own end up owning you. I think that's a really great statement. And I think it's very true in a lot of ways. Because think about things and the value that you assign them in your life. Some things, like the stuff that's sitting in storage, you may not lay eyes on it for years and years. So does it really have the value that you think it has? You know, a lot of people say that if you haven't used it in a year, get the fuck rid of it. Think about that in the ability to become a hoarder. It's very easy to do.
Yeah, it's also something I watched my mother and her.
Mother is totally a hoarder. I will tell you right now. I grew up with that shit, and it breaks my brain. Yeah, there's a reason why I like wide open space and not a lot of clutter.
Yeah, although in here we have a little bit of that just kind of necessity.
Well, we also don't fucking own this place. This isn't our stuff. It's some of our stuff mixed with a lot of their stuff.
That's true. So, yeah, I was thinking about this because I'm going, okay, because, yeah, they're, let's just say, I think it is in my interest to continue to purge stuff that I may not still need from back then. And unfortunately, because of our dietary discretions, yeah, some of them I've had to acquire new wardrobe and some
another thing that's definitely getting fixed once the weather gets warmer.
Yeah.
We're going to make that a couple's activity that we engage in on the daily. Promise you that.
Yeah, well, okay, but the point is that, yeah, we, but yeah, so it's giving me a chance to get, because I've got a lot of clothing that's currently under the bed, and I kind of went, yeah, I think I need to get rid of, I think me and Goodwill need to go have a discussion about this stuff. So
that's not a bad idea. I might actually do my own, quote, you know what, we should delegate a spring cleaning time for us. I think that's an awesome idea.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I think it's a great idea now to maybe, I think we've talked about that issue to enough of a degree that it's time to go to the yay or nay segment.
I think it is. I want to hear what the pedalheads have to say today.
The world needs a wake-up call. We're going to phone it in.
To 253-237-3321. Tell us, do you share food with your partner? Now, I'm going to read a couple of text submissions that we got before we play the voicemails to give y'all a little extra time to get your answers in. So Tigger weighed in when asked, does she share food with her partner? Now, mind you, Tigger's single right now, but did she in the past? So she says, do my dogs count? I said, sure. She said, then yes, I do. I said, did you ever share with your ex? She said, all the time. Now, Rev Cybertrucker also weighed in the back channel and said he does. He has no problem with her tasting from his plate. He just steals some of hers when she's not looking. So I think that's cute. And to know his spitfire redhead of a wife, she's a Southie from South Boston. You don't fuck with those women. They know ways to kill you that you've never even imagined. But she's a good one. And so is he. We love the Rev here at the Lotus Effect.
Yes, we do. We appreciate it. Now, now Mama had said that, no, we didn't share food like what you're talking about, but then she also called in, so we'll have to see what she
right.
actually did. Now, this pedalhead calls in, quite often.
Howdy, howdy, merry Saturday. Very chill today. Doing day, and just kind of crawled out of bed, so. I mean, I've got up and stuff, but yeah, just chill. Anyway, I said that right. Hello, Phoenix Telephone Boy. Thank you. I think I did. Anyway, I don't know. Yes. The answer is yes. I don't know when we started, but we like always share food. Like out. Well, I mean, at home we don't, but like when we go out, we always share food. Because almost most of the time we'll get something different. And so as long as we're getting something different, we'll just split it. So, and it always kind of works out that way. So just variety, fast life, you know how it works. So we've done that for years. Some people are like, oh, it's so cute. And I'm like, all right, just food. We're just splitting it. But anyway, but sometimes it does feel weird though. Like when we do get the exact same thing, like we'll both say get a super burrito or something like that from the place, you know, and then we'll bring it home or whatever. And then we're like, I feel like I need to like give her part of it. I'm like, wait, we got the exact same thing, you know, same meat, everything. But yeah. Yeah. If you don't do it, you should try it. Cause you know, you just get like two different things. So anyway, it's not that complicated, you guys. I don't know what the big deal is. But I want to know, if you don't share, why do you not? I mean, I get it. Somebody's sick. Sometimes that's annoying when, like, one of us is sick. And then, like, trying to incorporate, depending on the food and stuff like that, like, the non-sick person needs to eat that thing first sort of thing or whatever, so you're not, you know, contaminated. So that's annoying. But beyond that, but I want to know, why do you not share food? Unless you don't like, you know, have a significant other. That might be kind of weird to, like, go ask the person at the next table, hey, do you mind if we, like, share some food? But who knows? Maybe that'll work. Maybe that's how you get that somebody. Or maybe that's how you get a black eye. I don't know. I hope you guys stay dangerous. And whether or not you're sharing, or you're just being selfish, go ahead and give a hottie hottie. Oh,
Mr. Christopher Battles. Oh my God, thank you so much. We got a couple of show titles from the transcript mangling.
Oh, we got Weird Al, like, what was the other one? Because I need to write it down. Find the other one for me.
That's how you get a black guy.
That's how you get a black guy.
Oh, wow. Lotus sex tips from Mr. Christopher Battles. Yes. Share food. That's how you get a black guy.
God damn. Oh my.
Savage.
There's my bell.
Damn, okay, right, bell, baby.
Work. Okay.
I got it going on today. We're going to hear what this next pedal head has to say.
Oh, my
though.
Goodness. Yeah,
I'm sure they have it going on.
I know who this is.
Sharing food with your partner. I don't ever remember doing that with my second husband, but the first one, we shared a banana split one time because we were celebrating buying our first house. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Love y'all. Bye.
Okay, love you, Mama. Thank you.
Thank you, Mama. I think I remember you mentioning that in the past.
And you know what? No, I think that it could be a generation thing.
Yeah.
Like, it might be a difference between Mama's generation and our generation where, you know, we don't mind doing it. Like, it doesn't weird us out or anything.
Yes.
I don't think we ever really thought of it, but, well, I'll tell the story after we hear what this next pedalhead has to say.
I don't share my food, and neither has any partner I've been with. My view on it is order what you want, and, you know, you do the same. If the only thing I think I've ever shared with anybody after I take that back was maybe a big piece of cheesecake at the Cheesecake Factory, and that was like it. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, Jen. Oh, Cheesecake Factory. Now you're talking dirty in my emails. Oh my goodness. Yeah, we love us some cheesecake here at the Lotus Effect. Unfortunately, is hot fresh garbage, and we should not indulge in it. However, that's cool. I don't have an issue with people not sharing food, but, you know, I was thinking when we came up with this topic, I started thinking about when arguably the first time we ever shared food was, and it was actually the road trip that we took across the country because we had bought some meat sticks at Costco before leaving the P&W, and we had gotten, because if you can get it for free, why the fuck pay for it? We had gotten mustard packets. So you put a little bit of mustard on the meat stick and you take a bite and then you put a little bit of mustard on it and you give your partner an opportunity to take a bite. So that was literally the first time I believe that you and I shared food.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we did it at the cottage for our finger quotes first date. Mm. If the road trip was the second date.
Yeah, exactly. That's quite an epic second date, by the way. I just kept to say.
Yeah, it's definitely tests the resolve of, is this relationship going to be an everlasting one, or is it going to be a problem?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
I'll tell you what's not a problem though. Yeah, it's this next segment because we're gonna get high.
I'll take a drink, and my name's Smoke Little Reef. You know, I like to smoke. Reefer, you know, it relaxes me and everything. A couple of doobies, you know, just to get you through the day and everything. But I do not freebase cocaine.
Yeah. We don't freebase cocaine, but we can neither confirm nor deny being high. And I think Phoneboy is going to tell you about our first higher consciousness story today.
Yes. At a suburban Cincinnati farmer's market, Ohioans pick up marijuana plants to grow at home.
Ohio! Ohio! Ohio!
Wow. Yeah, that came in hot.
That was hot.
Yes. As soon as visitors walked in the door of the main building at the Horsepower Farm last weekend, they were inundated with the earthy smell of cannabis. Inside, more than 30 vendors set up stands hawking everything marijuana-related, from LED lights and other grow equipment to cannabis seeds, immature plants, and clones, which are cuttings taken from mother plants and then developed into adult plants.
Excuse me. Time out. How did we know about? How did we not know about this? And can we attend next year? Just putting it out there, food for thought.
Yeah. Well, I think that I think there's actually quite a number of these. From what I understand,
Ohio is literally a day trip.
Yes. So now, growing cannabis at home became legal for adults in Ohio in December of 2023. When most of the attendees at this farmer's market, about 30 miles north of Cincinnati, were looking for a long-term solution to accessing cannabis legally while offsetting the cost of buying it at a dispensary.
Henry VIII made each farmer in Old England grow their share, because they knew if you want the strongest natural fiber there is, you all got to do your part for the king and grow more pot.
Yeah, the farmer's market had everything you'd need for your own cannabis starter kit, including the plants, which ranged in price from about $30 to $70, depending on the size. They can take anywhere from 4 to 8 months to fully mature and can produce about 17 ounces of bud per plant. Now, Ohioans, on average, were paying about $210 for an ounce of bud at a dispensary at the end of last year, according to the Ohio Division of Cannabis Control, which tracks average prices of recreational cannabis statewide on a weekly basis.
Rent, it's too damn high.
Now, expert cultivators, many of whom had experience working for licensed cultivators in Ohio, were also on hand at the farmer's market to teach growing fundamentals and help consumers avoid mistakes that could foil a successful grow. Now, the cultivation or growing of cannabis may only take place within a secured, enclosed area or in or on the grounds of a primary residence that's not accessible by anyone under the age of 21, according to Ohio law. Now, those over age 21 are allowed to grow up to 6 plants, while households with 2 or more adults age 21 and older can grow up to 12. Only dispensaries licensed by cannabis control can sell marijuana in Ohio or for medical or recreational use, but who says they can't give it away?
That's what I'm saying. You know, if you're a listener in Ohio and you want to return some value to the Lotus Effect, hit us up in the back channel. We'll gladly give you our address. We do accept donations. Now, this is something that caught our attention, and I'm going to give credit to my oldest son, because he was the one who brought this to us by asking a question about...
I think you're actually correct in this case, because in researching what he actually said, what he actually brought to our attention...
Right.
Brought this story as well. So.
Right. We're giving you a two-pack, folks, because the Tennessee hemp industry actually got a legal reprieve from a product ban until summer.
Smoke weed every day.
The sale of popular hemp products, including those that contain THCA, will remain legal in Tennessee until at least June, when a legal challenge to state rules that would outlaw many best-selling products goes to trial in Nashville. The decision represents a 6-month reprieve for Tennessee's budgeting hemp industry, which has grown to an estimated $280 to $560 million in annual sales since the products were legalized nearly 6 years ago, according to industry survey data.
Yeah, I like money, though.
Yeah, we do like money, and we're hoping that the lawmakers will figure out that this money can keep flowing in as long as you allow the smoke to keep rolling. So in dispute are the rules formulated by the Tennessee Department of Agriculture to require new testing of hemp products for so-called Delta 9 THC. Two industry groups, the Tennessee Growers Coalition and the Tennessee Healthy Alternatives Association, argued the rules, set to go into effect December 26th, represented agency overreach and would lead to the ban of products that have not been outlawed by the Tennessee General Assembly. State attorneys argued the agriculture agency is well within its rights to set certain limits on chemicals found in hemp.
Oh, you don't have no authority over me, bitch.
Days before the rules were set to take effect, Davidson County Chancellor Laisha Miles issued a temporary injunction until February 18th. Now, that injunction will now remain until the schedule of June 5th, when the trial is scheduled to reconvene. Hemp is a cannabis plant that has been legally available in Tennessee since the legislature first approved its production, possession, and sale in 2019.
Because we're pot smoking.
It's distinguished from marijuana by its concentration of a compound known as Delta-9 THC. Cannabis with a concentration of less than 0.3% Delta-9 THC is defined as legal hemp in Tennessee and federally. Now, we all know the 0.3%, as the person who delegated it said, is a bullshit number. It means fuck and all. Cannabis with concentrations greater than 0.3% is classified as marijuana and is illegal to grow, sell, or possess in Tennessee. Hemp flowers also contain THCA, a non-intoxicating acid that's not been outlawed in Tennessee. When heated or smoked, however, the THCA in the plant converts into Delta-9 THC, an illegal substance in Tennessee when it's presented in greater than trace amounts. The new rules would require testing for the Delta-9 THC produced when THCA is heated. You know, they'd be a lot better off if they would just
legalize this, yeah.
Now, the next story actually talks about that, because Tennessee lawmakers introduced an adult-use medical marijuana legalization bills.
It's a step in the right direction after all.
Two Tennessee lawmakers have introduced separate bills to legalize adult-use cannabis sales and establish a medical marijuana program. Senate Bill 0809, introduced by Democratic State Senator Jeff Yarbrough, would establish rules for the production, distribution, and sale of recreational cannabis products, according to Nashville TV station WSMV. House Bill 0872, introduced by Republican Representative Iris Rutter, would legalize medical marijuana for patients with the required qualifying conditions, WSMV reported.
Yeah, and monkeys might fly out of my butt.
We already have, technically, medical marijuana in the state of Tennessee, the problem of which is the conditions that it's covered under are so fucking obscure, it's like one in a million that's afflicted by it. So I'm really suspicious of that particular bill. I would want to definitely know what required qualifying conditions you're requiring Tennesseans to meet before they're eligible for a medical card. And quite honestly, if 0809 passes and 0872 doesn't, that's fucking fine too. You want some medical Mary Jane, Grandma? We'll go to the dispensary. We'll pick some fucking legal recreational up. You'll be higher than God's nutsack, Mama, and it's going to be okay. Because we don't need your fucking medical, Mary Jane, if you legalize recreational. So thanks for nothing, bitch. So HB 0872, known as the Tennessee Medical Cannabis Act, would also allow businesses to cultivate, produce, distribute, and sell medical cannabis. In 2023, a Senate committee rejected a Republican-sponsored medical cannabis bill, making Tennessee one of only 9 states that has yet to establish regulated adult use or medical marijuana programs. Now, it still remains to be seen if either of these bills will pass. And to be honest with you, I think because of the fact in 23 we were still under Sleepy Joe's regime, that's why the Republican-sponsored bill was annexed, because fuck the goddamn Republicans during Biden's administration. They were the fucking enemy. Remember? Trump bad. Ooh, orange man bad. Yeah, the TDS was massively bad.
And it's not massively bad now.
Oh, it's fucking worse since 47 fucking took office.
Yeah.
And no, fuck that. It's actually worse since he won the election, for that matter. These people are losing their minds. I'm really, truly hoping that the great people in the judicial areas we need them to be are going to see that this is not a bad thing. The money that you are going to make that will help our education system, our infrastructure system, our school systems, all around. Okay, this is a win-win situation for the people of Tennessee if it's voted properly on to give us the legalization we so desperately need and deserve. I actually would be partially tempted to see if Lorian and Spencer could take the time when this goes to referendum to go to Nashville. Let's all get together. Let's make a fucking stand. Let's go to the state capitol. Let's tell them what we think. Let's voice our support for these bills. Talk about not doing away with the THCA. Or if you want to do away with it, because here's another thing I noticed. And I was talking to Phoneboy about this behind the mic. All the states that have fully legalized Mary Jane have also outlawed the hemp situation. So possibly the attempt to outlaw the hemp could be in an attempt to usher in full recreational or at the very least medical. But we'll see. You know, maybe that's projection. Maybe that's just me wishing on a star. But come on, 9 out of 50 folks, we truly are the minority, not majority at this point.
Okay, but the other thing that
we're looking bad.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I kind of noticed in this article was it seems like to be kind of a bipartisan issue. So what
it does.
Yeah. So, well, I think the alcohol industry in the state is has a huge control.
Oh, we know for a fact. But when they here's the thing, if they would just realize they're not going to fucking lose the revenue they think they're going to lose if it legalizes, they're really not. There's still going to be people out there who think that it's the devil's lettuce and it's, you know, da 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 da. Okay. But yet they're tipping up the moonshine jar. It's not going to cut into the profits they think it's gonna. Here's a thought. Give us a try. What do you got to lose, guys?
Yeah. Well,
seriously.
Okay. Now we are going to get to the segment that formerly used to be called the bag of the napkin. We now have decided to call it the Lotus Tech Tips.
We have. We've 100% decided to rename this, but we are still covering the shit that we ask.
Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again? Have you tried sticking it up your arse?
Now, actually, we had kind of discussed, as behind the mic, we had discussed possibly like being a different podcast. I'm like, honey, no, we're not going to do that right now. We don't need to take on any new projects in the current state of things. However, I kind of like the idea of leaning into this Lotus Tech Tips thing, which was, you know, the kind of obvious snarky, tech tips.
I think it's a fantastic title change, and we'd like to we'd like to recognize Sir Ryan Bemrose for being the one who birthed that particular term, because he's always breaking Phoneboy's balls over his mute button antics, and it just kind of became a running joke. Hashtag Lotus Tech Tip. Have you tried unmuting something? Have you tried muting something? Etc. etc. So we just decided to lean hard into it, and we have renamed the segment. Now, you are going to talk about this first story.
Yeah, that's right. Because even the most advanced AI has a problem. If it doesn't know the answer, it makes one up.
Fool you!
Now, as artificial intelligence becomes integrated into our daily lives, researchers are working to tackle what might be its most glaring and enduring issue, that AI hallucinates or boldly spits out lies when it doesn't know the answer.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, I actually was working with one of our AIs that had been created at the day job, and yeah, and it was making in certain questions it would simply make up an answer that I could tell you was completely and utterly wrong. So this rampant AI problem is, according to researchers who spoke to the Wall Street Journal, rooted in a reticence to be caught not knowing something. Now, according to Jose Hernandez Arroyo, a professor at Spain's Valencian Research Institute for Artificial Intelligence, hallucination comes down to the way AI models are trained. Now, the original reason why they hallucinate is because if you don't guess anything, Hernandez or Arroyo told the Wall Street Journal, you don't have any chance of succeeding.
Coffee's for closers only.
Now, the Hasso Plattner researchers say they've devised a way to intervene early in the AI training process to teach models about the concept of uncertainty. Now, using their methodology, models not only can respond with an I don't know, but also seem to give more accurate answers when they do have the info. Now, like with humans, however, the models that Cohen and Dobler taught, uncertainty sometimes responded with an I don't know, even when they did know. The AI version of an insecure schoolchild who claims not to know an answer when called upon in class, even when they do.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Yes. Now, despite that setback, the researchers are confident that their hack is worthwhile, especially in situations where accuracy is paramount. Now, beyond increasing the accuracy of responses, Hernandez Arroyo, the Spanish professor, said that adding uncertainty to AI models may increase trust as well.
Right.
And when you ask someone a difficult question and they say, I cannot answer, that builds trust. Or Hernandez or Arroyo told the Wall Street Journal, we are not following that common sense advice when we build AI.
I'm going to speak on that as a former Luddite. I absolutely, if I'm going to ask AI a question and it says, I cannot answer that, I'm sorry. No, that doesn't build fucking trust. That builds annoyance. That builds the antitrust that the fucking AI can't do its job. So no, I disagree with you, Mr. Hernandez Arroyo. I do not believe it builds trust. I believe it builds exactly the opposite. Now, I'm going to tell y'all about robocallers posing as FCC staff that are being blocked after robocalling the real FCC staff.
That's how you know you fucked up.
Robocallers posing as employees of the Federal Communications Commission made a huge mistake of trying to scam real employees of the FCC. Now, the FCC announced yesterday on the night of February 6, 2024. So hold the fuck up. Wait a minute. Brr. This is like a fucking year ago. Thank you. Just had to get that out. So on the night of February 6, 2024, and continuing into the morning of February 7th, 2024, over a dozen FCC staff and some of their family members reported receiving calls on their personal and work telephone numbers, according to the FCC.
Deposit 10 more cents for another 5 or 3 minutes. Whoopee!
The calls used an artificial voice that said, "Hello, name of recipient. You are receiving an automated call from the Federal Communications Commission notifying you the fraud prevention team would like to speak with you. If you're available to speak now, please press 1. If you prefer to schedule a call back, please press 2.
If you are codependent, ask someone to press 2 for you."
You may not be surprised to learn that the FCC does not have a fraud prevention team like the one mentioned in the robocalls, and especially not one that demands Google gift cards in lieu of jail time. The FCC's Enforcement Bureau believes the purpose of the calls was to threaten, intimidate, and defraud. According to the agency, one recipient of an imposter call reported they were ultimately connected to someone who demanded that they pay the FCC $1,000 in Google gift cards to avoid jail time for their crimes against the state.
The world is filled with stupid people, and I get paid a lot to be smart.
The FCC said it does not publish or otherwise share staff personal phone numbers, and that it remains unclear how these individuals were targeted. Obviously, robocallers posing as FCC employees probably wouldn't intentionally place scam calls to real FCC employees, but FCC employees are just as likely to get robocalls as anyone else. This set of schemers apparently only made about 1,800 calls before their calling accounts were terminated.
I'll be back.
The FCC described the scheme recently when it announced a proposed fine of $4,492,500 against Telenex, the voice service provider accused of carrying the robocalls. The FCC alleges that Telenex violated Know Your Customer rules by providing access to calling services without verifying the customer's identities. Telenex has, of course, denied the FCC's allegations and said it will contest the proposed fine. Yeah, can y'all say CIA triad? I think you can, for those in the back.
Yeah, well, the idea, this has been a problem for, there's lots of shady ways to get access to the public switch telephone network. So they've existed in the VoIP world, and there's plenty. There's a lot of.
This is definitely a social engineering example. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's time to go to the segment that we haven't renamed, and it's called the Junk Drawer.
Humanity was incapable of solving even its most basic problems, like garbage, which had been stacked for centuries.
Yeah, and, given all the other garbage that's been stacked for centuries and the systems that are rotting from the inside out, maybe being dependent on the system is not such a great thing right now, and we should all try to work toward getting more independent of that system. So here are 12 simple things that you can start doing right now to become more independent of that system.
Fight the planet!
Yes. Our system is designed to beat us down and make us weak and dependent, because when we are weak and dependent, we are easier to control. Most of us don't even realize why the majority of the population is so sick, exhausted, depressed, and confused much of the time. Our bodies, our minds, and our spirits are constantly being poisoned by the system, and those that are in control of the system know exactly what they're doing. If you do not choose to break free, you could end up under the oppression of their system for your entire life. Now, of course, many people, inertia seems like the easiest option. It's just so easy to keep doing what you've always done, and that is especially true once you get older.
You're older than you've ever been, and now you're even older.
Yeah, but what are you going to do once the system that you've become so dependent on starts to crumble all around you, as has been happening? Well, here's 12 things you can do to help. Number one, become less dependent upon your job.
Take this job and shove it.
Now, for most people, having a job essentially means living in a state of just over broke. Now, the truth is that it is incredibly difficult to become financially independent working for someone else. Of course, most Americans would not be able to survive without a job, but you don't want to settle for just surviving. I know that it can be exceedingly difficult to find the energy for a side hustle while you're working a full-time job, but a side hustle can eventually evolve into a full-time income. If you want to live free, it is so important to explore alternative sources of income and different ways to build wealth. And the truth is that any job we have now could easily disappear when economic conditions take a turn for the worse. But if you have put in the effort to build up a side hustle, at least you'll still have that. Now, the next thing is, getting out of debt.
Don't be a slave. No one can tell you.
Now, the borrower is the servant of the lender, and if you want to live free, get out of debt. And, reduce expenses. You know, don't live beyond your means, that kind of stuff, right? And, of course, you might also want to purchase
huge tracts of land.
Real estate's a lot more expensive than it once was, but the truth is, and we certainly want this too, is that you want...
We will have this.
Yeah, but the truth is that you didn't want to wait forever to get your hands on a piece of land, and you're going to need it to implement the next thing, which is to grow your own food.
So God made a farmer.
The thing I didn't know, I might not know who Paul Harvey was. I mean, that's.
I didn't know if you knew.
Yeah, he was on the radio on the left coast as also. So
good enough.
So 100 years ago, almost everyone knew how to grow their own food, and most people also knew how to raise farm animals. Now today, relatively few Americans have those skills. Also, the modern food system is poisoning you, and this gets you away from that. Now, this is something we talked about very early in the show, and I'll play a clip from it, from that. Matt.
You know, I do have, amongst some of the other hats that I've worn, I do have a culinary background. I did go to culinary school, University of Tennessee, woo-woo, go Vols. And I just absolutely, I love food. You know, I mean, truly, I love food.
Well, who
I love growing it. I love growing it. I love raising it. There's no secret. I have a whole bunch of chickens and a turkey, and it just brings me a lot of joy to go and feed them and bring them water and see the eggs that, you know, they've laid. And I do. I always thank my chickens for the eggs that they gave me, because even though it's a natural process and whatever, it's much like when you dispatch an animal for food. You know, you thank that animal for giving its life for, you know, the ability for you to eat. So it's very circular.
Yeah, that
it is very circular. And I love and can't wait to get back to growing a garden and raising livestock for survival purposes, because it's very fulfilling.
Yeah, we're also
the work is very fulfilling.
Yeah, we're also going to need to find a reliable source of clean water, because you know what they put in the floor in the water?
The best part of waking up is fluoride in my cup.
Well, that among other really nasty shit, depending upon where you live. And drinking pure water is an easy change that anyone can make, and it can have a dramatic impact on your health. Now, in addition, water is going to become a very, very valuable resource in the years to come. It'll be absolutely key for you and your family to have a dependable source of clean drinking water. If you don't have water, you won't be able to survive for very long. Probably not.
3 days, yeah. They say, yeah. Your human body can go without water before your body starts to shut down. And yeah. It's just a very horrible, painful death. Now, to be honest with you, okay, I'm sure everyone is aware of the wildfires that devastated the Los Angeles area. And one of the biggest problems that they had, and you heard us report on the fact, was that there was no fucking water. They turned on the taps and got bubkis. That's a big problem. A huge problem. And I hope the pieces of shit like Gavin Newsom and all those fuckers out there that are responsible for that water shortage and the damages are held to task for it. But I can tell you here that, first of all, we run all of our tap water through a filter. We either do it through a pitcher or we have an actual filter on the faucet itself. We also are going to, when we have our property, we're going to have a filtration system where we can turn rainwater into drinking water if necessary for survival. And we're also going to use it to water our livestock and such. We're going to make it a very eco-friendly circular process.
As it should be. Of course, we're also going to be looking at alternative energy sources, off-grid ones, of course, and, of course, store supplies. And every time there's a major disaster or emergency, store shelves get empty really fast, you know.
Awoga!
And if an extended national emergency results in supply chains being disrupted on a long-term basis, you may have to get by on what you already have in your home. And so, do you and your family have enough food and supplies to survive for an extended period of time? And now, we managed to do this living in a condo, folks. We have two freezers full of meat and a pantry full of canned goods. Anyone can do this.
Nobody can fuck with us.
Yeah. And, of course, you should protect your assets with gold and silver.
Silver and gold.
Yeah, I can't believe you pulled that one.
You're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. So, a little Burl Ives for you. When the rampant inflation caused by continual money printing, gold and silver were definitely, it'll definitely increase in value. Now, you might also want to learn some self-defense.
I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, if you don't leave me alone, you're gonna have to send me home.
Yes, of course you are.
Cause I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
Yeah, we've lived through the last few years, folks, and we've seen what can happen. I think the government's gonna protect you when they're the ones fomenting the dissent. Well, thankfully, at least one of us knows their way around a firearm here.
And if I have anything to say about it, sir, you soon will.
Yeah, all in good time. I'm definitely not opposed to that sort of thing. Now, of course, you should. Something else we shouldn't be opposed to is keeping ourselves in physical good condition.
Let's get physical, physical. I wanna get physical.
Or good physical condition. There we go. As Americans, we live such cushy lives, but when times get hard, things will not be so cushy. And in fact, the years ahead are likely to demand quite a bit of physical activity. So keep yourself in a good physical condition now, because in the future, you'll be quite glad you did. Just remember,
you can't out-train a bad diet, period.
Now, we also need to make sure we make deep connections. And it's really hard to survive all by yourself. Now, those that will thrive the most in the future will be those that have a community that they can depend on. And the truth is that we're always at our best when we can work together. Now, it's time to build really deep connections with friends and family. And it's time to make new connections and focus on what's truly important, because in the times ahead, the world will be a very cold place and a little love and teamwork will go a long way.
And, you know, we are all about that community spirit. We've talked about it in the past that it would be really neat if we could find a way to buy enough land where if the shit truly hit the fan, that the pedal heads and maybe even their families, you know, would have a place.
The Lotus compound.
Yeah, it truly would be. And it would be kind of like one of those cult compounds you see, except for it wouldn't be all religious and creepy. But it would definitely be an ability for everyone to work together. Almost like it would almost be like an Amish community, except for with modern amenities. Yes. You know, everybody's farming and tending to the animals.
It would still be Amish paradise, though. I mean, we'd have to play that song. But anyway, that's a different
You're thing. Such a nutcase.
Okay.
But irrelevant. You know, we do need to depend on each other in any way that we can. And unfortunately, sometimes when you depend on people and you trust people, yeah, it goes kind of shitty. And it's odd because there's going to be no penalties even though a deputy shared a woman's nudes after an illegal phone search.
Don't leave or we'll get AI-generated nude selfies and send them to all your friends.
In 2019, Haley Olson's life in Grant County, Oregon, was upended when people in town appeared to know about private nude photos that Olson kept on her phone. Worse, some of the people appeared to have seen and shared the photos. The incident all had some relationship to the local sheriff's department, where Olson was dating one of the deputies. In July, for instance, a stranger in a sheriff's officer's uniform approached her to say that he had, quote, heard there's some pretty smoking pictures of you going around the sheriff's office. Someone else saw a married couple, both of whom work for the sheriff's office, looking at Olson's photos on the husband's phone. Other people also approached Olson with knowledge of her recent out-of-state arrest. One person calling her, quote, the drug dealer that likes to fuck cops.
But we're winning the war on drugs, we're winning the war on drugs. Restored and fastball, we're winning the war on drugs.
Now, Olson had recently taken a trip out of state to Idaho. In Oregon, she ran a marijuana dispensary, which was legal there. But on her trip in January, she was stopped by Idaho State Police and arrested for marijuana possession. As part of that arrest, the Idaho State Police wanted to search her cell phone, and they asked if she would sign an Idaho State Police voluntary consent to search. She agreed, and the Idaho police made a complete image of her cell phone. The Idaho charges against Olson were later dropped. Even though she was not prosecuted in Idaho and had committed no illegal activity in Oregon, she came to suspect that her cell phone image had somehow been shared across state lines and given to her local sheriff's office. Olson filed a public records request with Grant County, trying to figure out who had her data and who had been talking about it.
People always make the best exploits.
She received a reply that same day from Jim Carpenter, who was then the Grant County attorney and county prosecutor. Carpenter explained that Glenn Palmer, the Grant County sheriff, had asked Carpenter to obtain, if possible, a copy of the cell phone image from the Idaho State Police. Palmer claimed to be concerned that the deputy whom Olson was dating might somehow be implicated in illegal activity depicted on her phone. Palmer had first tried to obtain this directly from the Idaho trooper in charge of the case and was told no, which is when he reached out to Carpenter. How Palmer even learned about the arrest is unclear, but Olson had told the Idaho police she was dating a sheriff deputy in Oregon. Somehow, word spread back to the department in Grant County.
I've got information, man. New shit has come to light.
Yeah, maybe don't brag about the fucking fact that you're dating a cop, you stupid twat. So Carpenter requested the cell phone image from the Idaho prosecutor in charge of Olson's case. In his request letter, Carpenter said that the image will, quote, will be used only for internal purposes and will not be disseminated to any other agencies or third parties, end quote. But when Carpenter received the image in the mail on the flash drive, he reached out to two outside agencies to look through Olson's data. Given that no actual crime in Oregon was being investigated, both agencies said no. A court later noted that these actions contradicted Carpenter's letter to the Idaho prosecutor. Carpenter decided to look through the image himself, using tools from the digital forensics company, Cellebrite. The image contained nude photos of both Olson and the deputy she was dating, but no activity that was criminal in Oregon. Carpenter wrote Palmer a letter making this clear, though noting about the situation was, though nothing about the situation really was clear. Palmer would later say that Carpenter had, quote, twice offered him the chance to review the extraction, and that Carpenter had said that there were things on that cell phone that once you see them, you can't unsee them.
Move on! Nothing to see here! Please disperse! Nothing to see here! Please!
Carpenter, for his part, insisted that he was never willing to give the flash drive to Palmer or to show him its contents. He told Olson in his letter that he merely took a quick look at the flash drive, and after finding contents on the flash drive that was clearly personal in nature, he made a complete reformat of the flash drive. And yet, somehow, people around town knew about the whole situation and even appeared to possess the pictures. Olson sued both Carpenter and Palmer for an unlawful search and seizure under the Fourth Amendment. The case has been bouncing through the court system for several years and recently landed at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, one step below the Supreme Court. The Ninth Circuit finally ruled on the case this week, and judges lambasted the behavior of the Oregon authorities, who had looked at her data without a warrant. The mere fact that Olson had signed a voluntary search form in Idaho was besides the point. Olson's consent in Idaho did not extend to a search by a different law enforcement agency in another state. Now, this is according to the court in its opinion. The search did not fall into any exception to that warrant requirement.
Blah, 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 blah.
Unbelievable. The Ninth Circuit concluded that the situation was, in fact, a troubling violation of the Fourth Amendment. Unfortunately, Carpenter was found to have qualified immunity from prosecution as a government employee because, although he violated Olson's Fourth Amendment's rights, the law remained unclear in 2019. This case was slightly more complicated than a garden variety warrantless search because Olson had voluntarily renounced some rights over in Idaho, and it was at least arguable at the time that this might have extended to other searches of the cell phone images for other reasons.
I object, Your Honor, and I move to strike!
This is bullshit, okay? The Ninth Circuit issued clarifying guidance in this area, saying that further searches of cell phones for unrelated reasons do, in fact, require a warrant. But all three judges declined to issue any penalties against Carpenter for his 2019 actions. As for how Olson's photos were shared around town, the Ninth Circuit admits that it simply doesn't know what happened and can do little about it. However, local news reports suggest that the Grant County Sheriff's Department has had repeated experience in dealing with these kinds of lurid situations previously. Uh-oh! Yeah, sounds like they might be in some hot water up there in Oregon for all of this shenanigandry. But at this point, I think it's time for last call. What do you think, phone boy?
I say it's time.
Oh, I'm not done yet.
Oh, God.
And yeah, we actually got another voicemail here.
I love it.
Yeah, let's see what this odd fellow has to say.
Phoenix and phone boy. You share food. Well, I will say that when the wife and I go to restaurants, oftentimes we like a lot of the same things. So oftentimes what will happen is we'll agree on what each of us are getting so that we can share it. And, you know, it may not be the whole meal, you know, but like the main entree, if it's a certain kind of burger or certain kind of whatever, like, we went to a Mexican restaurant not too long ago and she got something they serve in one of those big stone bowls. And then I got some other fajita with steak and shrimp. Well, she don't eat shrimp, but I, you know, she had a couple pieces of my steak. And then I had a good portion of what she got because it was huge. We probably could have just ordered that and been fine. But, yeah, We tend to share food quite a bit. I don't let my kids or nobody eat off my plate because I don't think it's good to have kids getting in the habit of eating off other people's plates instead of their own. But yeah, that's like, that's how we do it. So I think that's, I don't know. I know a lot of people get like, oh no, don't touch my fucking food. But like, yeah, don't touch my food. But like, you know, sharing is different. Like, don't stick your fucking fork on my plate. I'll make a fucking scene. But like, you know, like I said, that way I get to try two things off the menu instead of just one. And it's better that way. Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Now I think, okay, by the way, I want to relay an experience from the last, my last, excursion that involved an airplane. Now, one of the things that, when eating with Israelis oftentimes is that we eat kind of family style. So there's a lot of sharing of dishes, and it's a communal sort of sharing. You know, so that, you know.
Yeah, when I went to Israel with you, I experienced it at your birthday dinner.
Yeah, that's right. So that it is a very common dining style over there. I think there's something to it. I mean,
I think it creates camaraderie. And yes, maybe if we host another holiday, it might be something we do. Like, look, this is how we're going to do this because it's fucking cool.
Yeah. Okay. Well, meanwhile, okay. So anyway, we appreciate that call. And I don't
That's why we have a last call segment for those who are a little late getting their voicemails in. It's all good. But we do have a final story here that I'm going to let you take.
Yeah, we have two. Yeah,
well, actually, we have two. So I'm going to let you take this one because I think you're more suited.
Yeah, there's a reason I marked this as my story. So Donkey Kong's famed kill screen has been cleared for the first time. Now, for four decades, no one was able to pass the game's 117th screen, a.k.a. level 22-1, due to a glitch in the game's bonus timer that kills Mario well before he can reach the top of the stage's girders.
You call this a glitch?
Okay, it's not really a glitch, but it's a side effect of the limited 8-bit register the game uses when calculating the two largest digits of a level's bonus timer, which doubles as the overall timer for each screen. At level 22, this calculation makes the register overflow past 256 and back down to 4, giving Mario just a few seconds to complete the stage before instant death. Yes, a couple of weeks ago, Mario, the speedrunner Cosmic, shared the news that he had passed the kill screen using a combination of frame-perfect emulator inputs, a well-known ladder movement glitch, and a bit of luck. And even though Cosmic's trick is functionally impossible to pull off with human reflexes on real hardware, the method shows how the game's seemingly insurmountable kill screen actually can be overcome without modifying the code on an official Donkey Kong arcade board. I had fun pulling the clips for those.
Yes, you did, yeah. Clearly.
Yes, exactly. So how about, I think you're going to have fun ranting about this last one.
Oh, I'm about to go. Y'all strap in because you all are going to get a Royal Phoenix rant today because dining out is now coming with a 50-cent egg surcharge. As egg prices have skyrocketed due to bird flu, some restaurants are passing on the added cost by asking customers to pay per egg.
What?
Yeah, that was really delayed. Fuck my soundboard. So rather than hiking prices on their menus, which are costly to reprint, they're letting diners know up front that each egg in an omelet, breakfast burrito, and French toast comes with a fee. Yeah, because you couldn't fucking, like, take a little sticky note or a sticker and place it over it with the new price, you lazy cunts. So restaurants are calling the egg surcharges temporary, hoping they'll make them more palatable to diners. No, it's not more fucking palatable. It's still a bullshit 50 cents or more fucking charge per egg when you go to a restaurant. It's fucking disgusting. Now, Waffle House is adding 50 cents per egg to a bill, and some smaller local restaurant chains are charging 30 cents, with one place charging $1 per egg.
Holy shit.
This has gotten out of fucking control. When we are paying $6 and $7 for a dozen of eggs, it just reinforces the story that we had about 12 ways to say fuck you to the system. Raise fucking chickens. They naturally produce eggs. Fuck you vegans out there that are like, I don't want to eat them because it's harming the chicken. No, okay? Not shitting an egg harms the chicken more than the fact, what the fuck are they going to do with them? If you don't have a rooster knocking up your chickens, the eggs are just going to sit there and go to waste. Food is best when used. Yes, go get you some fucking chickens and fuck these $7 a dozen egg prices. You heard it here at the Lotus Effect. At this point, I don't know about you, phone boy, but I truly...
Well, that's about it, really.
What?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Fuck it. I gotta go.
Yeah, fuck it. We gotta go. We're basically over it at this point. Episode 172 of The Lotus Effect in the fucking can. Wait, that's really dirty.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. I'm just so, you know, I'm so fucking over this.
It is time for this to be over.
I got an idea to end all this bullshit.
Jordan fades back. Swoosh. And that's the game.
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. And fuck you, I'm out.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.